All right, now we're on.
Yay!
Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. Bling, bling, bling. This is,
now all we have to do is start like mumble rapping and then release it on SoundCloud and we'll be able to make like I think millions of dollars.
This is the quality content that people tune in for. Hooray.
Yay. Set that bar low and we will deliver.
Well, just some programming notes. I uploaded last week's to Facebook just because. So I'm just going to start mirroring this on Facebook and YouTube and Libsyn. So I don't know if you care, but just to let you know where we're sticking this thing.
And an easier way to find the thing and possibly draw people, draw new people in to all of our rambling uselessness, I guess is probably the kindest way to put it.
Yes. Keep them on Zuckerberg's product for an extra hour.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, Zuck. Just helping out, doing our part.
All right, Brando. What are you geeking on this week?
Jamie Noguchi, I am buried in a world of project management tools, and I don't know if it's necessarily geeking on them, because the two things that I'm going to be quote unquote geeking on are
oh no.
Okay.
What happened?
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
I'm back. All right. Okay. Everything's fine.
Okay. Well, we're still recording.
Okay. Sorry about that, kids. The second thing, because I don't know where I cut off. First thing, very old.
You cut off right after you said the first thing about project management tools.
Okay. So the first thing I'm going to cover is old, but not super old. The second thing is very old. So the first one is Trello.
Yes.
If anyone hasn't been using it, you probably should. It's a free service. It allows you to kind of organize your to-do list. I'm a big to-do list guy. I've been going on and on about the field notebooks and stuff like that. And I've been trying to find that, you know, I've been a real like Cinderella with this sort of thing. Like, I'm just trying to find that glass slipper and figure out like what's the best project management tool for my to-do lists that I'm able to like share them all over the place and find other places for them to be. And, you know, like, for example, with Super Art Fight, being able to share it with the rest of the crew and give them updates on everything and have everything in one place, but also a system that works for my brain. So that's been step one. If you guys haven't tried it, you should totally do it. Trello is free. For most personal use or most like really small business like ours, it's still a free service. You should totally try it. I think you may enjoy it. The second one is more of the same, because I ended up getting more of these goddamn notebooks, but I got bigger ones now. So let me see. This is from a company called Northbooks. It's gonorthbooks.com. I did pick them up on Amazon. They are American made. They are essentially a much larger field notes book. So to give you a comparison, here's a field notes book. Okay. For some of you like at home, you're wondering like how big's a field notes book. To give you an idea, that's my hand comparison. So it's relatively palm sized. It fits perfectly in the back pocket of a pair of Levi's, if that's a better size comparison. Smaller than a checkbook, nice and thin, staple bound. These Northbooks, by comparison, are much larger. I believe they are A5 size for our artist friends out there.
Artists don't know what A5 is.
I don't fucking know. Let's put it this way. It's smaller than 8.5 by 11. Okay. So it's not huge, but not small. I think it's like 7x10 or something like that is what it is. And I might be getting my A references wrong, but either way, I picked up a pack of three of them on Amazon for about $15. And the thing that I have been loving is they are graph paper, which is big for me to stay organized. I am big on check boxes and things like that. So the kids, you know, I've been watching like a lot of bullet journal things and been debating like, should I bullet journal and yada yada. And frankly, like I'm self-indulgent, but I don't know if I'm self-indulgent to try and do the bullet journal thing.
Like, wait, you can put like you can make your bullet journal like your bullet club thing and like have the scratchy font and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Like I just, you know, like it's been one of those things where I went and looked at the bullet journal thing and it feels like a very aspirational sort of like, I need a self-help book or I need something more than maybe like a day planner, but I don't need something so just task oriented as like just a to-do list. Like it's a happy medium that also lets you feed into your like, what movies did I watch? What yada yadas? And like, that is awesome. And I don't want to shit all over it because a lot of people need that to just remind themselves to slow the fuck down. And that is super important. So please understand, I'm not hating on bullet journaling. There is something about it, and maybe it was the videos that I've been watching, maybe it's the tutorials of everything, but it feels like there's no middle ground in between super bro-y investment bankers trying to plan out their 5-year plan and 17-year-old girls trying to figure out what they're going to do for homecoming. Like, and I understand that if a platform is able to do both, it's probably really capable. But for some reason, I can't seem to figure out how to make that work for me. Hmm. So the big thing I've been doing is just taking the graph paper and just start making notes.
Make them notes.
Yep. I put a box next to every single thing that I want to do. I put a date on it. And the idea is, every day or every week, we do a weekly art fight meeting. I come up with a list of action items. I list them out. When they're done, I put an X next to the box. So this way, I know they're done. Anything that doesn't get done that week, I highlight it in yellow, and it moves on to the next week. So there's highlights and moving on. And then the week afterward, we get a bunch of other things done. We didn't get a whole lot done that one, but you get a bunch of highlights and moving on. I realize that like the light's super low right now for some reason. But yeah, the idea is throw those things in your face. And it's probably not the most mentally productive way of looking at it. But by seeing all of those yellow things, that tells me that there's a lot more to be done.
Yeah.
And it forces me to then follow up and try and tackle these things and try and make sure that nothing gets missed. This is a personal accountability thing. I am a very tactile person when it comes to this sort of thing. I like the feel of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I like handwriting out my notes. I think I retain them better. I know there was an article I was reading that a lot of people end up retaining information better when they write it down or they read it physically on paper versus on a screen. I think we're just kind of mentally at this point, you know, we read a lot of social media and it's in one, out the other. And it's just like we have this sort of thing where like if no one's willing to write it down on paper, it might not actually be true. So fuck it. Why bother? So like, well, seriously, like if someone posts on Facebook their manifesto, you're less likely to take them seriously. Even if they write their manifesto on newsprint and crayon, you're still going to bother to read it because someone bothered to put pen to paper. And that's the sort of thing I'm interested in. Like if you went and you decided that like, you know, the moon landing's fake and the mole people are coming to get you and you decide to like write it on construction paper in like crayon and then put it in a newspaper box, I'm going to spend the 50 cents, not on the paper, on getting that manifesto out of that box because I got to see where this rabbit hole of crazy goes. Like I really do. So for my brain, I think writing these things down has really worked for me. I am by no means amazing at keeping track of all this stuff, yeah. But I like to believe I'm better than some or most at it. And this has been really the big help for me. So I would say if you are out there like, fuck, things are getting missed. Bills are accidentally late. Not because you don't have the money, because you fucking forget to pay them. There's work projects that are falling off because you have so many spinning plates. You've got all of these side things going on. Grab one of these books and literally just put a date on it, the start date, and then a dash, and don't give it an end date. And literally just start dating it out and go a couple weeks out, no farther, and just start tackling everything in your calendar. Start writing down the dates and then start figuring out a daily list. And anything that doesn't happen that day, it's okay. Highlight it. So this way you have to force yourself to go, I didn't do that thing, I didn't do this thing, I didn't do this thing, and then write it again for the next day. And eventually you'll get fucking tired of writing the same thing over and over again, and you'll be like, fine, I'll do the thing. Whatever.
If you want to go really old school, you get yourself like a mini letterpress. And you do all the you like arrange all the letters every day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Then you screen it and then like do the ink stamping.
Don't get me wrong, Jamie. I hate myself. I don't know if I hate myself that much. Like the idea of one, buying a gigantic metal stamp and then arranging letters in chunk, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Just hate you. And then just move on. Hate you. Yeah, but
I mean that's like old school. That's how you do a list.
Yeah. So what I've started to learn is by transcribing a lot of these notes and these outstanding projects into Trello. It hasn't worked great for personal stuff, but for work stuff and for art fight stuff, things that you don't necessarily touch every day, side projects, side business. Everybody has a side hustle these days. Your side project, you've got a lot of moving parts. When you go to set up your Trello, I am very simple with the way I set mine up. I'm probably doing it wrong. I got three rows, to do, doing, and done. And it's literally just what's to do. You date the projects, or you name the projects, you sort them all together, and then you just basically try and just shuffle their way right. And that's the idea. Simple premise. Don't overdo it. Don't make a whole thing out of it. Yeah. And just fucking slide them on over. Like, that's the idea.
Slide it down.
Yeah. So that's been what I've been geeking out about. It's not the most interesting thing in the world, but it is a thing. Yeah, because I haven't been able to go out and go shoot with my new super fancy bokeh lens.
Oh, no.
Nobody wanted to go with me.
You didn't go to the car show?
No, man. I decided to work on the house. That was the idea. I couldn't get any response to get anybody to go with me, and I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'll look at my list, and I found a thing on my list, and I said, okay, we're gonna get something accomplished today.
Oh man, yep. I wanted to see photos of the cars. I wanted to see metal flake and highlights and clear coats and candy colors.
There is going to be a problem in my brain for a lot of these things until I mentally get past it. Like, I need to do a few events with a couple friends first.
Okay.
Because going to hang out at a place where people are willingly blasting Gucci Gang and vaping is a mental hurdle that I just need to get over. And I get it that it's me. And if you're into vaping and you're into Gucci Gang, okay. I'm sure I'm able to respect the work that you put into your vehicle.
Yeah.
We can all agree. I don't care what the vehicle is. If there's a love for a thing and you like, and you put that time into it, respect. I'm good. I'll snap the photos. I'll enjoy the thing. But yeah, I don't know what's going on right now. I assume your wife.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You know, we need to make ourselves like a fake press pass. And just like put it on a lanyard and then like walk around with our cameras and just go. Well, I mean,
this isn't like a paid event. This was like a one online photographer who does a lot of cars and other things basically organized a like a small car show at a park and ride.
Oh, okay.
But when I saw the photo of him like ready there an hour early with like a folding table, where it's like, hey guys, hope we filled this thing up, yada yada yada, and I see like his Bluetooth speaker, his portable hard drive, and his vape, like sitting there like the world's worst everyday carry setup, and I'm like, man, I don't know. And then I saw another video about an hour later where like a bunch of cars are lined up and like a bunch of people are vaping, and I'm like, oh this is a culture I don't know if I want to tolerate. Like, and I'm aware, I go to cons with Artfight. I don't really like tolerating that culture either.
Yeah. Well, definitely bring your camera to AwesomeCon.
No, for the record, you should be knowledgeable to the fact that my camera goes everywhere.
Nice.
Absolutely everywhere. I take it to work with me. It is with me absolutely everywhere. I rarely ever pull it out, but I always have it with me, and I need to get in the habit of doing that. I'm not sure. I think I'm just going to have to put on my to-do list every day, take some photos. Like, yeah, just find a reason to take 10 and just go and do the thing.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing. They don't always turn out great. In fact, they rarely turn out good.
But you're taking photos and I'm not, and that's the problem for me. But anywho, Jamie Noguchi, what are you geeking out about?
Brandon Chalmers. Sir? Are you familiar with Baja Fresh?
I am familiar with the Baja Fresh.
Yes, the Baja Fresh.
Yes. What about the Baja Fresh?
Are you familiar with the term enchilada style?
I am not.
Oh, Brandon.
Okay.
So, imagine, if you will, your humble burrito from the Baja Fresh. It is a small child. It's a small baby-sized item.
Yeah.
They're bigger than your Chipotle, but they're smaller than like the Burrito Shack down in Arlington, because the Burrito Shack in Arlington, I mean, that's like a leg. Someone's leg.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking to somebody who actually enjoyed a Burrito California from El Salto this evening. So,
yes.
For anyone local, sweet Jesus, you need to have that burrito. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So, there are a number of styles you can get. You can get like the basic Baja one with this just meat and cheese. Right. You can get like the spicy one where they add in jalapenos and like chili flakes and stuff like that, or you can get like different styles of burrito, and they'll shove all that in, roll it up, and give it to you.
Gotcha.
However,
yeah,
if you would like to go extra and die, essentially, give your heart a challenge, because every once in a while, your heart needs to pump extra. You can order such burrito enchilada style. What they do with your baby child.
Mm-hmm.
And the chips in the tray, they take enchilada sauce and they just go.
Okay, wait. Hang on. So I think you may have lost me right out of the gate. So instead of just serving you a burrito, they serve it like a Thanksgiving turkey in a bed of nachos,
yes,
correct?
Yes. So
So we have accoutrement, if you will, a crown of nachos, if you will.
Yeah.
If the Taco Bell and the Burger King had 1 liter, this would be their crown.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not around it, but the nachos are next to it, but they spill over, so it ends up, you know, surrounding it.
Okay, I gotcha. Like a horn of plenty, if you will.
Yes. So then they take the enchilada sauce, which is a red sauce. It's got tomatoes and all sorts of – it's a red sauce. Fuck it. It's red sauce. It tastes like red. They take it and they go – and they cover all of it. They like – they baste the burrito – they cover the nachos, and then they take all of their cheese and they go and they just giant like heaping fulls of cheese, and then put this in the oven so that it melts all the cheese together. And then they give it to you, and what you have in your tray is a red and orange and white melty mess of cheese and enchilada sauce and burrito somewhere in there, and the crunch from the nachos. And that is enchilada style, Brandon Chalmers.
That sounds pretty good. I should give you a fair comparison, because the burrito that I had this evening from – actually, let me make sure I read it properly. El Salto. It is a burrito that is rather large. Not one of your baby ones. I'd say about this. Like, it's got some heft. Like, So let me see. Menu El Salto. I am a big fan of the El Salto in Parkville. It is relatively close to my home over in Towson. There is another one down in Glen Burnie, if you'd like, that is rather tasty. But definitely would enjoy the El Salto. But the big thing about El Salto is the cheese, because the cheese is a really big thing. They use that Blanco, that like white queso Blanco sort of thing. So they end up making sauce.
Yeah.
That's got a little bit of spice and everything else like that. Okay. Apparently El Salto's website is turned off.
Oh, no.
I don't know what's up with that. Let me see if I can get the photo of the menu from Yelp. This is what happens when you don't plan ahead of time. Yep. Let's see. Yada, yada, yada. Good Lord. Okay. I may just have to describe this in loving order.
Okay.
So anyway, so you take a burrito, right? Yes. A proper size burrito. Yeah. This is the sort of thing that comes out in like a serving tray sort of oval dish, right? It's a loving, I believe it's a 10 to 12 inch tortilla. It's no joke, right?
Yeah.
They start with their own refried beans, then their own Spanish rice that they make in-house.
Yeah.
They then make a decision in between their shredded chicken or their beef tips. I always go beef tips.
Yeah,
when an option beef tips is there, always go beef tips.
Yeah, if we're going to a restaurant and they offer chicken, unless that chicken is something special, I always avoid the chicken, because chicken is something you can do at home.
Right. And I get that. Like, if you're trying to behave or whatever it is, I totally understand. But when it comes to everything else, like, you really want to go hard.
Yeah, get the beef tips, man. Get the beef tips.
Yeah, so you get the beef tips, right? So then they end up topping it on top of that with a bit of shredded lettuce for a bit of crunch. They end up doing their cheese inside. Then they end up doing a little pico de gallo, fresh in-house. And then they wrap all of this love up all nice and tight like. And they don't skimp around with the beef, by the way, also. There's a bit of beef in every bite.
That's awesome.
And then they take this food baby, right? And they lovingly place it on the plate. And this is the sort of burrito that you cannot pick up.
Right.
Like, if you try to lift it, the bottom's blowing out of this thing. Right. It intentionally, like, I know for a fact, someone is leaning over this thing to get the two sides to touch. It's like a fat guy with a belt. Like, it's not going to quite happen. It's a lot of breathing in and then just pulling tight. Then they take ladles of that queso and they just pour it over.
Yeah.
And it's just smothered in this stuff.
That's pretty close, man.
And then they wait. And you let it sit. And now this is going to sound a little silly, but much like a proper steak, you have to let it rest before you cut it. You have to let the cheese sit for just a half bit, because a proper queso will stick to a chip.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's got staying power. You go to dip that chip in, pull it back out. It's going to coat both sides and then have a dribble line.
Yeah.
And you should be able to rotate that dribble line not once, not twice, but thrice, and then tilt up to get it to kind of dollop and whip around the chip.
Yes.
And then go ahead and get that bite. That drying factor, when you're turning that chip, that's what I'm talking about. You let that burrito sit, right? And you let that cheese just get that nice sheen on it, and that's when you start digging into it.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Then you just start tearing this thing up with knife and fork. You make this mountainous pile of food. Now, they also do their own El Salto hot sauce, which, sir, I've had hot things. This is the sort of thing that if you go hard in the paint, you will have to actually go get a milkshake afterward to cool yourself down. Like, they do not fuck around with this. This sauce is not green, not red, brown.
Ooh.
With bits floating in it. Like, it is, it's the dregs of it. Yeah, like,
yeah.
There's no, like, I'm convinced that the tray that they use for this is not a vat. It's an inch deep and a mile wide. Everything is the dregs. Like,
see, this sounds a lot better than Baja Fresh. And I only say Baja Fresh because it's a chain that everyone can get to. But this sounds
I get that.
This sounds like next level. this and sounds like a next level thing.
That like when it comes to the battle of fast casual, I think is the best description of like a Five Guys or whatever it is. Yeah. When it comes to fast casual Mexican food, I'm a Qdoba guy.
Yeah.
Personal.
Yeah.
I like their business model. I like where they went. I like that I can go with the fajita vegetables and the two different kinds of queso if I want to go hard in the paint and get extra and get extra and get extra. Yeah, by the way, the final thing for El Salto that's the best part is you want to make yourself the fattest nachos you've ever had, because at the table are their own handmade nacho chips they take their tortillas and then fry them in-house and then hand salt them with coarse sea salt, so everything sticks to them right when they're greasy and come out of the fryer. They salt all of them, so they're just sitting an endless pile of these things sitting at the table.
Motherfucker.
So then you end up basically having the fattest nachos ever.
Can we
just gorge yourself?
Can we do this when
yes.
when mania yes. when mania happens?
Yes, yes, yes.
And,
yes,
we can. If we order those paint markers and I come over to refill them, can we do this? Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah, every time you see me now, you head on our side of town, we can gladly go to get El Salto. But now, bear in mind, El Salto also has a lot of other really good stuff. There's a lot of great Mexican restaurants around, but El Salto has been my go-to because it's the local one. But that burrito, girl.
Motherfucker.
Like, it is. Yeah, yeah. Like, I killed half of it, and then I was like, okay, I gotta pause. I'm literally right now debating, do I go up and just put myself in a diabetic coma for the evening? Oh. And then, yeah, basically, like, I'm going to have to turn the phone all the way up and, like, stick it under my neck or something. So this way it like, vibrates and flashes and, like, blasts Young MC in my ear when the alarm goes off. Yeah.
Well, like the Mania show, that starts at noon, right? So we get it for lunch, we eat half of it, and then like when dinner time comes around and we're still watching like 8 hours of Mania and there's still 20 hours of Mania left to go, we finish the second half.
I honestly, you joke, but apparently the ongoing thought process right now is the main event will happen after midnight.
Motherfucker. Okay, so we're going to get this burrito.
Yeah, we're going to have to get this burrito. But yeah, kids, the important thing to learn here is you can do some real fat things at a place like Baja Fresh, who really tends to market itself as the healthier option. And I'm proud of you for finding that. But I do remind people, if you really, really want to make a mistake, you got to get yourself a fat friend. Everybody has one. We're the grenade. You send us out there as a wingman. You send us in there in case there's a problem. We're a pass blocker. We're giving you bad ideas about food. And usually, because of our size, we're power drinkers. So there's a good chance, no matter how fucked up you're going to be at the bar, we're going to be a little less fucked up, and we've got the heft to carry you out the bar. So get yourself a fat friend. That's nice. That's cool today.
Nice.
Yep. So Jamie Noguchi, do we have a topic this week?
We do, and it's kind of an amorphous one.
Oh, shit.
So okay. I gotta set this up, but we're going to be talking about movies and entertainment and stuff, so it's not going to be sad like the last time we...
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I don't even know what we were talking about, but I'm sad already. I remember what it is. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so this year is... All the movies are Disney movies. We just had Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Endgame is coming. There's going to be a Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
There's going to be an X-Men movie.
Okay.
There's going to be a Dumbo movie, an Aladdin movie.
Okay.
A Toy Story movie. Oh, I think Toy Story is next year, but Toy Story is down the pipeline. I mean, this is just in the Disney family. Then Star Wars.
Okay.
This entire year is Marvel movies, like franchise after franchise after franchise. It's going to be a multiple billion dollar year for the Disney Corporation.
Yes.
Brandon Chalmers,
sir,
how do we combat this? How do we defeat because DC is not going to do it. DC's fucking up. DC's already fucked up. Like they've already screwed themselves over. They're already talking about like this next Suicide Squad movie is going to be a reboot. They've lost Affleck. They've lost Cavill. you know, they're
okay. Hang on.
Okay.
Let's put a pin in your thing right there. I do want to double back to something you just said.
Okay.
Lost is a strong fucking word for Cavill and Affleck. And I got nothing against Cavill. He was a delight in the Man from U.N.C.L.E. remake, and he was a delight in the new Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah.
But he was not a good Superman. And Affleck, and I just watched that most recent Netflix movie with him and whatever the fuck, Charlie Hunnam and a bunch of other shit. By the way, yeah. I'm convinced Charlie Hunnam's actually a shitty actor. Like, completely forgettable and boring and terrible. Affleck sucks as Batman, and I think he's the worst Batman, and I don't mind physically fighting somebody about that. I'll die on the hill that Val Kilmer's a better Batman than fucking Affleck. I honestly a better Bruce Wayne as well.
He has better lips, for sure.
And like, the only thing that Affleck has is that old like 80s Frank Miller Batman build. He does have the like no neck build, but right. Frankly, I think honestly, if you like laser or 3D print some abs in there and you poured my thick ass in a Batman suit, I'd look about the same.
Why did you say that name?
Yeah, like we'd need to, like, you know those bindings that you used to get in rollerblades or something like that? Like, we'd need to get those to, like, strap the bottom of it to the pants to keep my shit from falling out the sides. But, like, I think we could make that happen.
Yeah.
Like, he's bad. He shoots people. He's bad. He's boring. He shoots people. Oh, yeah, and he's bad.
And so, I don't disagree with any of that. I think Cavill could have been okay. Given a different director, because there were hints of the old Spider, of the old Superman, like that cheesy Boy Scout thing, little hints of it.
Has there ever actually been a cool live action Superman? Reeves was fine for the era, but no one is going to call him cool.
I am the wrong person to ask, because I've never liked Superman as a character.
Right, but here's the thing. I've loved the DC animated versions of Superman.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I loved all of the old Batman Superman adventures, the Superman cartoon. Like, I can enjoy Superman.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anyone who is going to be an enjoyable Superman on screen. I think he's kind of a shit character for a movie, especially a movie set in a dark and gritty universe. But anyway, okay, so let's pull the pin back out of that.
Yeah.
I have a whole nother question about what the fuck your beef is with Disney, but continue your thoughts. So to combat Disney, DC is definitely not going to do it. So
they're like 5 years behind. Like, in five years, I could see DC releasing maybe 3 movies a year.
Okay.
Maybe, but they're playing catch up, and I don't know if any other studio out there is churning out as much shit as Disney is. Like, it concerns me that that Mama Mouse is like so large. But also, some of these things are starting to look the same. Like, a lot of the Marvel movies, they have been
for quite some time.
Yeah,
like, I enjoy them.
Yeah.
But let's not pretend here.
Yeah.
And let's also tackle the other thing, that superhero movies are starting to become stale and lose their shine.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to figure out what the next thing is. So I'm not so worried about the mouse, because frankly, they've always been a dominating force for fucking ever. Like, because realistically, if you want to lump something else in with that, that I don't know if you care about, Avatar. There's new Avatar movies coming out. There's like fucking 3 of them, I think.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Avatar.
It's like, but they built a goddamn they turned part of Animal Kingdom into goddamn Pandora or whatever the fuck it's called. So, like, they're in it. They are fucking sold. They've got floating islands, yeah. And some weird dude is like trying to fuck a donkey or something. Like Sigourney Weaver is just wandering around, chain smoking for funsies. Like that whole thing is happening.
I know it's happening, but those are so they're years down the road. Like right now, there's we don't have any DC movies to combat the Marvel thing. We don't have Avatar. That's not going to happen. None of these live action anime franchises are going anywhere. We're not getting another Ghost in the Shell. It remains to be seen if we're going to get another Alita. I would want another Alita, but I mean, it's not there yet. So like, I guess what I'm looking for is I want more variety in my comic book movies or in my nerd shit.
Okay. Okay. So then I double back to the question. Other than a saga movie, which frankly, I'd be worried about anyone fucking up, including Marvel.
I would be extremely worried about a saga movie. Yeah. It works great as a comic and right, these could be things.
Right. But I ask you then the question, being a much more of a comic book fan these days than I am, what movie would you and like what franchise that is a comic would you want to be turned into a movie that you think you could enjoy?
Yeah. I was trying to think, like, trying to come up with this topic was tough because the only traditional ones to combat the Marvel franchises are DC, but they clearly have their heads way up their ass and can't figure out what to do with it.
Right, okay, but then not all of the Marvel movies have to be, like, super cookie cutter that way. Like, yeah. You could do a young adult style, less like shoot 'em up sort of version of Fraction's Hawkeye. Maybe right. Not necessarily with Jeremy Renner, but you could take those stories and drop kind of down his luck Hawkeye into, you know, a city and have him basically start off very similar, you know, to almost like a less funny version of like Deadpool. He shows up kind of beaten up, down on his luck, monologuing essentially the entire first like 10 minutes as they basically slowly pan out and he's like spitting a tooth into a half rusted sink and you realize that he lives in a crap apartment, his wife's left him, and oh yeah, he's an Avenger.
Yeah.
And like that realization of taking the glamour off of everything and you still have those pepper ins of whatever it is where, you know, He gets calls from Vision or whoever, but like you turn the cast way down. You bring in Kate Bishop. You're able to do some fun stuff.
And they kind of did that with the Netflix stuff, kind of, sort of, like the down to earth, not cosmic big thing. And that's great. But I want different like. So,
but even the Netflix thing fucks it up because Marvel has the same problem every single time. They have shit villains.
Yeah, I agree.
Every one of those Marvel shows has a shit villain. Like, other than the most recent Daredevil season with D'Onofrio's Kingpin, the villains have been just plain bad. Mm-hmm. Like, the fucking new one in Punisher, giving Jigsaw a mask. Why? Why? Yeah. Why not just let that guy's face be messed up and let him just start calling himself Jigsaw and be done with it? The second he starts fucking going full Michael's craft on his own little like mask, whatever it is, he completely removes all the toughness out of everything. I'm like, what is up with the dude from the Jabberwockies? Why is he so angry at the world? Like, I don't understand. Right, yeah, like, what's happening? I don't get it. Is there going to be a rest of a dance troupe? And also, like, why don't they have white masks that match along with it? Like, shouldn't...
Yeah.
If you're going to be a cartoon or comic book villain, fucking dig into it or completely avoid it altogether.
Yeah.
Like, I love what they did, and for as much as I have an issue with the third Iron Man movie, I love what they did with the Mandarin.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah, like, I love that they took a character that has a really problematic past, and they basically turned him into a one-liner.
Yeah.
And I love that they weren't afraid to do that. The problem on the other end of that, though, is that the villain in that sucked.
He did. Yeah. Tony was mean to me, I'm going to be a villain. Where?
Right. And now I'm kind of crystally, and then I'm going to shoot a laser. Gwyneth Paltrow. Pew, 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 pew. Right. Yeah. It's like, fuck. God damn it. No. Like,
I guess what I'm looking for is
its own problem.
Yeah. I guess what I'm looking for is, like, what is the indie equivalent of like a comic book movie? Because, at some point, indie comics started to become a bigger thing, and I'm kind of waiting for like indie comic movies to become a thing.
Bigger, like, what indie comics, again, other than Saga, are you talking about?
Well, no, like in the 90s, the Image split, when Image became a thing.
Oh, okay.
Because like Marvel and DC got too big for their britches, and the artists wanted more control, so they split off and they did their Image thing. And
right.
And I kind of feel like we're at a similar point in the comic book movie history, where like Marvel is getting really big for its britches, and I'm kind of waiting for other comic book movies to happen. I mean, they're doing another Hellboy.
Okay.
I guess.
But that doesn't look very good.
Yeah, and I don't know.
I love David Harbour, but that doesn't look very good, and it's terrible because we have Ron Perlman to compare him to.
Yeah.
And while the new David Harbour movie physically looks better in a lot of ways, it loses the fun of Hellboy. And until we start to see a bit of that character come back, we're going to make two assumptions. He's doing a bad Ron Perlman impression.
Yeah.
Or this movie isn't funny at all.
Yeah.
There's no way for them to win with that. It wasn't like they continued on after the fact or anything else like that. It's not like they brought back Doug Jones to be Abe and then brought in the new Hellboy because they decided that Ron Perlman was too old.
Yeah.
Like, they lost that ability to kind of transition through that.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a space for someone else to come in, and I'm not sure And that was the problem trying to come up with this thing, because like I couldn't think of an indie franchise that was well known enough that would have a built-in audience that would pay money to go see a movie. Like Sin City used to be a thing, but then we had two of those movies, three of those movies.
Two of them, and then The Spirit, which was real bad.
Yeah, like the first Sin City was okay. The second one was and The Spirit was awful.
Yeah.
Hellboy fizzled out.
They
lost it.
Right.
They haven't done anything since. They're trying to revamp it. Pacific Rim isn't exactly a comic, but it had the potential to be more things.
Okay. So we've got Spawn.
Spawn, that's right. Spawn is in development hell right now.
Right. Spawn is in development hell, but frankly, I think rightfully so, because I think McFarlane's a lot of flash and not a lot of substance.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that people would watch a Savage Dragon movie?
No, because I don't think most people know who the fuck Savage Dragon is or care. And he's not relatable in any way, shape, or form.
People
like what they know. They know the big names and everything else like that. But like, okay, so I'm looking at yada yada yada, development of Image Comics. I'm looking at Image Comics Wikipedia page, by the way, for reference if anyone wants to follow along. A Youngblood movie? No.
No.
The Savage Dragon? No, probably not. Spawn? Yeah, we know that's in development hell. Wildcats, which, while I love the television show, that it was very short-lived.
That was dope.
That was dope, but the problem is that it's a really, really bad ripoff of the Avengers.
Well,
it's
also, Wildcats is DC now, because Wildstorm is owned by DC now.
Okay, well, then that completely removes that. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Cyber Force? This looks like... Yeah, okay, that's essentially another X-Men knockoff. Oh,
Witchblade.
Okay. We've been to a lot of anime cons.
We have.
Do you really think the smartest thing we can do is take a character that is hypersexualized from the 90s? That I honestly, like, I may do my best. Like, if you can actually tell me the storyline of a Witchblade story arc, I'll take a bite out of my own slipper right now. You have to be able to fact check it. But I don't think she can.
Yeah, I ain't got nothing.
We remember what she looks like.
Yeah.
We remember she looked kind of cool. We remember that she was hypersexualized, and it was super 90s. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
that was more of that McFarlane style bullshit. Like, it's just
yeah.
A lot of little nooks and crannies, H.R. Geiger knockoff shit, and then like titties and spandex. Like, that's all it really was. And I'm sorry to say it that way, but those comics were not meant. Okay, so like the Max, which is a super rad
oh, yeah.
TV show, but that is not going to be a movie, that and it's is, not going to.
Yeah, good. That would be tough.
Right. So like, okay. So then, Jeff Smith's Bone. No, I could see them doing a cartoon version.
Bone would be a great cartoon.
Actually, Bone would be a great, like, Pixar-style animated thing for young adults. That would be super rad.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bone would work.
But not actually live action. Like, if yeah. we're talking about legitimately competing against Disney, yes. And I think Disney would do themselves a service by picking up Bone. I think it would yeah. be good.
That would be a lot of fun to see an animated version of Bone. The big red dragon. That would be really cute.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Stan Sakai was published through Dark Horse for the longest time. He just moved to, I think it's IDW.
I'd love to see a proper animated Usagi movie. I mean, that'd be rad.
Fuck, dude. That would get all of my money.
That'd be super rad.
That would get all of my money.
Yeah, like, I think these characters would translate well. You're not going to do a live action version,
no.
But you could definitely do an awesome animated version. Okay, I'm going through here. Witchblade, no. You can do The Darkness, which is like a shitty Spawn knockoff. I hated that they were knocking off their own things. let's see.
Jay Lee famously.
You could do a directed DVD release of Gen 13.
Oh my god, Gen 13.
There's no way that's fucking going main screen.
God,
let's see.
I loved all of that shit.
Well, we all did. Like, you can't pretend about any of that stuff, but, like, yeah. Okay, so Walking Dead, which became a really big TV show that is not so big.
Oh, no. What happened? Technical difficulties. There's a no. We lost connection for a little bit.
I know, and I'm back, and I've got it.
Okay.
Chew. Have you never read Chew?
I've never read Chew.
Okay, so Chew is a comic book series about the FDA. And essentially in this alternate universe, the FDA has become the strongest, basically like the strongest law enforcement agency in the land.
Wow.
There was this whole thing about chickens essentially becoming deadly. Let me see. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, let me give the quick plot summary. Set in a world where all chicken and other bird meats are illegal after a catastrophic outbreak of the bird flu that killed 23 million Americans, Chew centers on Tony Chew, C-H-U. The comic is spelled C-H-E-W. A police detective who is a SIBOPATH. Let me bring up what that actually is. I believe that means he tastes with his mind. I don't know. Oh, let me cool. see. SIBOPATH. A SIBOPATH can take a bite from anything and get a psychic sensation of what happened to that object. So he knows where food came from. And this is also true of people, of objects, of other things. So if someone's murdered and they have their toe removed, if he takes a bite of that toe, he can find out what happened to it, which is part of where the draw came in of this poor guy who works for the FDA who has this ability. Anyway, so Tony becomes a vice cop with the Philadelphia Police Department when on assignment trying to find people smuggling chicken. He enters a black market chicken restaurant on innovation from the on invitation from the U.S. FDA. He has a bowl of chicken soup, only to find that he gets a psychic impression of the cook killing people and putting them into the soup.
Oh,
he goes
no.
to bust the cook, only for the cook to kill himself outside of the restaurant. Chu eats a bite of the cook's tongue to find out the names of the rest of the victims. He's fired from his job from the Philadelphia PD and gets hired on the FDA by an agent named Mason Savoy, who's also a SIBO path. And then all hell breaks loose, and there's like a weird chicken substitute, and he's got family that's involved in this sort of thing, and there's betrayal. The comic's fucking 20.
This sounds awesome. I think it would make a great series.
Like,
I don't know about a movie, but I think it would make a great series.
I would love to watch that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what. It almost has to be kind of stylized. I don't know who would actually do it, but
HBO,
Jesus
maybe?
Christ, yeah, Jamie. I don't know. Like, either way, you owe it to yourself, kids. If you haven't read Chew, please go read Chew.
I should get on that shit.
There's a comic series that I have read that you actually haven't.
Yeah, I should check that out. That sounds awesome.
I thought it was. Is it Get Jiro? Is the sushi comic? Yes. Okay. So there's another one called Get Jiro, which I believe is written by Anthony Bourdain, of all people.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay. So Anthony Bourdain, let me see if I can get a, yada, 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 yada. Read more. If you'll actually read more. Okay. In the not too distant future, LA, where master chefs rule the town like crime lords, and people literally kill for a seat at the best restaurants, a bloody culinary war is raging. On one side, the internationalists, who blend foods from all over the world into exotic delights, gentrification. the other, the vertical farm, who prepare nothing but organic, vegetarian, microbiotic dishes. Into the maelstrom steps, Jiro, a renegade and ruthless sushi chef known to decapitate patrons who dare request a California roll or stir wasabi into their soy sauce. Both sides want Jiro to join in their factions. Jiro, however, has bigger ideas. In the end, no chef may be left alive.
I need to see this movie.
Jiro is a one-off. I think he did another one. You definitely owe yourself an opportunity to go pick it up. The paperback's like $15 on Amazon.
Yeah.
It was released in like 2012, I think.
Or
the hardcover looks like it was released in 2012. It's been out a while. I read it years ago. I think I've got a copy of it here somewhere. It's super good, and I think that actually could be a movie because the entire first issue or first like graphic novel, because it was released as a graphic novel, is a great story arc in and of itself.
Yeah, that sounds like perfect movie fodder right there.
Yeah, like it almost has the ability to be Pacific Rim-esque in its like really cool characters and like unnecessary. I seem to remember there being a thing where like there was a giant like tentacle monster that tries to take out one of the like the sushi restaurant, and some dude like literally runs behind the counter and says, "Go get my knife," and he goes to grab the regular one and he goes, "No, the big one," and then pulls a sushi knife that is the size of fucking like Cloud's Final Fantasy sword off the wall, and then he goes out and just starts chopping up tentacles of this octopus.
I feel like this needs to be handled by like a Guillermo del Toro or like one of those weird, weird genre Japanese directors that does weird shit.
I need that in the best kind of way. But God. Like, I think you need to get a little weird with it. Obviously, I know the fat guy came up with two food related comics, but
I'm there. Like, I'm there for both.
Both are really good. I love the fact that this is something that you actually haven't read, which says that there's a market out there for it of people who are into established comics but not necessarily weird things. Like, I only found this because I was on a weird Anthony Bourdain kick years ago when I actually like got an audio version of Kitchen Confidential for the first time, and I was like, I need to devour everything this guy does, and I ended up becoming more of an asshole because of it, but there are some really positives to come out of the thing. But yeah, like, I think there are some really cool comics like that would totally work. It's concerning though that you haven't been able to come up with any yet.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it's a dig, but it makes me wonder what you're reading or what you've read that isn't sticking out in your brain of like, I need to see this as a thing, and it's not a thing yet.
Well, it's not so much that. It's the criteria in my mind was it has to have a big enough audience that
fuck that.
Okay.
Stop. It's like, and here's where my head is. The audience is going to be as big as the audience is going to be.
Yeah.
You will never, ever go toe to toe with an Iron Man or a Superman or a Spider-Man with anything that we would come up with.
Right.
They have brand recognition. They have decades of name recognition and product placement and everything else like that. They have A-list actors playing these characters in most cases, and they have a global marketing team that is throwing millions upon millions at this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. You will never end up having that. What you could end up having, though, is a Pacific Rim where you've got something really cool looking, kind of interesting, could follow through, hell of a lot of fun, and could end up gaining strength as a wave. That initial, you know, Thursday night showing or whatever it is, it might not be so hot. By the time Sunday rolls around and everybody goes, no, motherfucker, he took a boat and then beat that fucking monster about the head with a boat. Like, you need to see that. And suddenly you didn't sell one ticket or two tickets. You sold four tickets again because that person brought someone else to then go see it a second time and show this person the first time. Like, that's the idea. Yeah. I think you need to have something like that.
Well, there's
that then grows a franchise that way.
There's a series called Blackjack from Osamu Tezuka, and it's about a renegade doctor who performs without a license. He's an expert surgeon and all this kind of stuff, and he charges outrageous prices. But his surgeries are worth it and all this kind of stuff, and there's always like moral lessons and stuff like that. But I think Blackjack would make an interesting, I think it would make an interesting movie series a la like a Sherlock Holmes or like a noir kind of thing.
Okay.
Like different adventures, but that is very niche. That is extremely niche. Like, you have to.
Yeah, that sounds like that would make a really good, like, not FX because they had Nip Tuck, but some sort of like semi gritty series of that sort of thing.
Yeah. And it's always about these weird conditions that that actually exist, because apparently Osamu Tezuka was like a trained to be a surgeon before he was a manga artist.
Okay.
But like Blackjack has always fascinated me because he's got the whole roguish thing and all that kind of stuff. But there's always this element of fantasy, and there's always moralization in there and all that kind of stuff. I have a longer list if it's just stuff that I would want to see, like Shark Knife by Corey Ray Lewis. Shark Knife is this kid works at a restaurant, and there are monsters in the walls, and every time a monster comes out, he gets a magic fortune cookie, turns into Shark Knife, and like beats the monster down. So it's perfectly made for like a Super Sentai series or a Super Sentai styled like movie kind of thing. And it took Corey like 10 years to write the second volume, but it's a lot of fun. It's got a hyperkinetic style. I would love to see a live action Shark Knife anything.
That is a really cool style. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's super dope.
Very cool.
Yeah, and the story is it's yet another thing that takes place in a restaurant. So food is very much a part of like the fighting style and the different power-ups, like different fortune cookies give him different power-ups and stuff.
Is there a possibility that we could, like, you could take an existing one that maybe didn't do so well and redo it? Like, could you take a Mystery Men and recast it? Could you take a Watchmen?
I don't know. I really like Watchmen as a comic.
Right. But like, I think the idea of that movie teetered the line of like ridiculous and then just gritty of the sense of like average people trying to become super, even though they're anything but.
Yeah.
And there was like they it seemed like that first half of the movie, or first, like, I don't know, two thirds of the movie, where it was like these people have certain things that make them different, but not necessarily super. And this makes a lot of sense. And then the fucking thing just went off the rails on the third half. Like,
yeah,
I've read the comic and I didn't feel like it went off the rails quite as much as the movie did. Like, and maybe it's just the, like, hyper visualization of it, where, like, it just, it felt like it got way too self-indulgent, but like, maybe something like that. Like, I think I'm almost kind of, I think it's why I'm interested in, like, Fractions and Hawkeye. I'm kind of not so interested in the, like, super duper superheroes. I feel like that's why Superman doesn't intrigue me at all. There's no, like, okay, he physically has one weakness, kryptonite, and maybe the second weakness is somebody killing Lois. But if he decides that he wants to sleep with somebody else, or just, you know, be Superman and crush a bunch of Strange, then he's really only got a green rock problem.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And realistically, if anyone actually got near him with it and he bothered to do what he should be doing as a super alien, which is laser vision right through the heart of anybody who gets within a country mile of him with that green rock.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Like, it's why I can never get into the comic, because I remember reading, I think it was like the multi-universe Superman or whatever it is, where, like, the real badass one came down and just lobotomized Doomsday in like 4 seconds, and we move the fuck on. It was like, I remember when Doomsday was like the thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, you know, the death of Superman. Yada. Dude had the ability to just kind of end it. Why didn't he?
Well, if we're talking about redoing movies, they need to do a Green Lantern movie. They need to do a real Green Lantern movie.
Look, unless we are going to complete, like, there are, because I am a pretty big Green Lantern fan.
Yeah.
Not like wearing silk shirts and getting tattoos Green Lantern, but, like, I know the difference in between my lanterns. Unless you are going to go a John Stewart, completely remove the boring white boys equation.
Yeah.
Not because I'm woke or any other bullshit, because Guy Gardner sucks.
He does.
He's boring.
Yeah.
Hal Jordan, super fucking boring.
Yes.
Hal Jordan is essentially Captain Marvel, but a dude and lamer.
Yes. And no space cat.
Yeah, and no space cat. So, like, so I think you've got to go with John Stewart, who has a bit of a military background and has kind of this weird, kind of tough but noble thing going on. And I think he'd be really cool to actually have. I'd love to see them switch it up and do, instead of U.S. Army, he's like British MI5 or something like that. And we get Idris Elba.
Just about to say.
Fuck yeah. Well, because I'm thinking of guys who have been in the service or would be toward the end of their career, stoic, broad shoulders, great looking, and of color. And he fits all of those things. I'm sure there are some other guys. I hate to say it, though. I don't want Michael B. Jordan being being John Stewart.
John Stewart.
It's too many things.
Yeah.
It's too many things. Yeah. I love Michael B. Jordan. It's too many things.
I would love a John Stewart movie. I would absolutely love a John Stewart movie.
Or my other end of that, we literally remove all of the lanterns that you know, and you do a Lantern Corp movie, and you start right on Oa, and the first thing you see is fucking Kilowog. And that's what they do. And the last scene in the movie is them flying near Earth to stop the Yellow Lantern invasion. And that's how they end the first movie. You completely avoid Earth altogether. We don't talk about a Superman. We don't talk about a Batman. We don't talk about any of it. They fight on random planets. They fight on fucking Pandora. We can tie it in. Whatever, Disney, have your shit.
We can
tie all this stuff in. We can have a bunch of random DC throwaway characters. And you literally have that be the thing, but you let them fight it out in space. You let them almost be your guardians at that point.
Yeah.
And then you end it with Earth.
I like this idea.
Kilowog's partner, you rewrite story a little bit, and Kilowog's partner ends up getting killed at the end, and the ring tears off toward Earth, and the last thing you see before the end of the movie is Idris Elba suddenly just start glowing and looking around going, hello, hello. And then fucking just tear off into the sky. Right. And then that's the end credit. And that's how we jumpstart the second one.
I love this. The only problem is it's DC and they're going to fuck it up somehow. But I love this idea.
Because right out of the gate, they're going to cast Tom Cruise as Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
And they're going to have him spend half the movie running. And then they're going to have him. Yeah. And then instead of actually fighting an actual lantern, they're going to have him fight. Like, you could make the Red Lantern and do the Red Lantern invasion with the blood and everything else like that coming out of him. Oh, and you make the fuck that guy Dwayne Johnson. Like, that's what you do. Right. Just don't even fucking play around with it. You just come right out of there. Thick, swole ass Dwayne just fucking kicking things open and like attacking him with all sorts of shit. Yeah. And just nothing but rage. Just blast him rage against the machine. Like, he comes in and it's a super fucking 90s movie. Killing in the Name of is the first thing you hear as they pan up. Right, that squow. And the camera comes panning up and you just see Dwayne look down. Stuff start pouring out of his face. Just clubs him. God. And they end the movie with him beating Tom Cruise to death. And that's how...
And that's how you get Idris Elba.
Yeah. Good. If we could do that, if we could kill Tom Cruise in the first, 6 minutes of the movie. Because admit it, you'd be like, fuck, man, I can't believe they cast him as Hal Jordan. And, man, it looks cool and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to see that. And then the first reviews come in, and there's a spoiler. And the first spoiler is...
John Stewart.
Dwayne Johnson... beats him to death in 6 minutes, and then Idris Elba shows up. Fucking go watch this movie.
So basically, when we go to see Hobbs and Shaw,
yeah,
it's gonna be Green Lantern versus Red Lantern.
You know what? Fuck, can we do that? Can we make Dwayne Kilowog instead?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my God, Dwayne as Kilowog would be dope.
Yeah.
Oh, and he would do it too.
Absolutely. We can totally just practical effect his face. He's already thick enough.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm down with that. Actually, you know what? That'd be the only way that I'd be cool with Guy Gardner if it was actually Jason Statham as Guy Gardner.
None of mine. Now, Guy Gardner as a lantern or Guy Gardner lantern then warrior?
I don't care. I'll watch Statham in anything, honestly. I watched him turn into a kaiju in Crank 2. I'll watch whatever.
That was hysterical. That movie was amazing. Right.
All right, Jamie, I think we did it. So the ones I think we do need a Green Lantern remake, but you have to kill Tom Cruise.
There's just no way
around.
Chew.
I think that we should chew, absolutely. Again, please go read Chew. Please go read Get Jiro.
It's
super good.
Yeah. Shark Knife.
And if you have some ideas of comics that you think maybe would be a better TV show or whatever it is, put it in the comments, put it in the Facebook group, whatever it is. Maybe we'll start dissecting them. Maybe we'll do a second episode of this where we start picking apart your ideas, and then you decide that you don't want to listen to this anymore because you're really angry at me. It'll be great. You guys can shout at everything. And unlike most of media, I'll actually respond because I put my name on everything. So, yeah. No hiding behind my internet memes this time, kids.
Yeah. I just want more variety. I mean, I love all the Marvel movies because I never thought we would live in an era where Iron Man would be on the screen in a robot suit punching dudes. And that's amazing to me.
And that's rad, but that's starting to wear off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I never thought I'd get to the point where, and I know a lot of people hate it, where Iron Man jumps out of a plane to AC/DC and I get super fucking excited and I'm ultimately like, cool, so what's Iron Man got now? All right. Like, I miss when superhero movies were, like, really fun. It was the equivalency of, like, you can't be rich and be sad because when you're rich, you got a jet ski and no one's sad on a jet ski. Like, I miss Iron Man 2 because it was Tony on a jet ski. Like, literally, he just, like, whipped the thing out of the plane, did a bunch of endos, came down to some classic rock, was like, hey, fuck yeah, what's up?
Yeah, yeah.
What's going on? Like, yeah. I need more of that in my superhero movies. I need a bit of fun.
And I think Phase 4, is that what's after this one? I think, like, Endgame ends this version of the MCU, and we get a new version, and hopefully it's a little bit more fun. But, I don't know. We'll see.
Should I be concerned that there's only one other movie that I can think of that has that title, and it's a Highlander movie?
Ooh, let's save Highlander for another, because friend Brandon, I have watched every single thing of Highlander, including the Renegade cut of 2, including the entire television series, including all of the made for TV movies, including all the DVD direct to DVD movies. Like, we could have a Highlander day.
You're talking to somebody who used to get the magazine with all of the Highlander merchandise sent to his house.
Oh my God. Are we going to turn this into Highlander cast? Can there be more than one?
God willing, no, because no one will listen. Actually, no, I'm sure there is a very, very big group of people, and I have a feeling we actually know quite a few of them. But
I'll go to Ren Faire.
38 years old. There's no one under the age of, I'd say, 33 who has any knowledge and or interest in Highlander. None whatsoever.
That song, though, Princes of the Universe, dude, fucking, oh, it gets me every time.
Before it gets out of my brain, you literally pick up and you come to find out that Freddie Mercury is actually the Highlander. He doesn't actually die of AIDS. He just has to move on so that he can travel around. You bring up, literally, it's the end of Bohemian Rhapsody. Robbie Malek acts like he dies, gets up from the morgue, has to fight his way out from Mr. Krabs, and then we move on and we follow him along.
I'm there. He gets the quickening.
We bring back the fucking Kurgan, and he sings his own theme. They didn't pay for it because he wrote it, and then he gave it to the Highlanders. And that's not actually that's what you need. Anyway, sorry. Princes of the Universe is a goddamn jam, and I'll fuck anyone who says otherwise.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's a jam.
Brandon,
it's not awkward at all when Freddie Mercury shouts, bring on the girls. Not all good at all.
We just solved it. We need Highlander back.
Fuck it. Yeah. I mean, why not? We love lightsabers, so we love a good sword fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be really worried about who they would cast, because I'm really betting it'd be Mark Wahlberg. Ugh. But yeah, I don't know who you cast for that.
Yeah. We'll think on it.
We'll think on that. Yeah. You know what? Actually, that too. If you have someone that you'd like to cast as the Highlander, please go ahead and throw that in the old comments section. That'd be greatly appreciated. I stand by my whole thing. The Kurgan is played by the Kurgan. Otherwise, you can just completely piss off.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Unless you want to get like Brock Lesnar to not speak and then dub in the Kurgan's actual voice. I'm good with that too.
Brock Lesnar has the build, man. That would be funny as shit.
He absolutely has the build, but he doesn't have the voice. But man, I would lose my shit to hear just, because you know what would happen? The internet would get a hold of it, and there'd be YouTube clips of Brock Lesnar wandering through this movie to Mr. Krabs clips of him just, oh, SpongeBob, and just him swinging the fucking gigantic sword.
He pulls the dick sword out of his chest.
That's even better. That's his superpower. He has the ability to pull the dick sword out of his own chest. Actually, that That would be funny if that's actually how they think they kill him. They stab him right down the center, and the sword sits where the tattoo is. Aww. And he goes, oh, that's cool looking. I should do that later. And then pulls the sword out from his own chest and then cleaves somebody.
God.
Wink, nod, dick sword. Yeah, like...
I feel like if we knew Vince, he would fund this.
You know what? I don't have Twitter, but I may be worth just, you know, blowing the dust off the old Twitter account. At WWE. Buy the Highlander franchise. Turn it into a thing.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to turn Raw into 4 hours? The hour after Raw is the Highlander.
Oh, my God.
Three precedents, because it used to be fucking Highlander.
Instead of Connor McLeod, you just put Becky in there.
Cool. Just I'm good with that.
Just give Becky a sword and the coat. She's got the coat. She's
oh, got God the coat. Damn it. I am good with that. Can we just cast it all with WWE people as we lose fucking everybody? So Fit Finley, right, plays the older... Okay. It's for like four. I don't care. Yeah.
Becky is the Highlander.
I'm all about that. Yeah. Anytime you want to cast an Irish woman in anything, I'm in. You want to cast her as like the shark in a Jaws remake, I'm good. Like, God. I am down for that accent.
I'm gonna have to draw Becky now with a katana as the Highlander.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm Claire McLeod of the Clan McLeod. Like, that's...
That's yep. So good.
I know.
That's so good.
This is what I do. I come up with great ideas and no one pays me. This is my lot in life.
My
This is it. I just gave that to you, Jamie. Look, here's what you do. You start writing, just start releasing just the rough sketches of a Highlander comic until someone sends you a cease and desist or pays you.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
You frame the cease and desist, or you sign your contract and you go full time.
I'm just going to at Becky the entire time. Hey, Becky, I don't know who you need to talk to, but when you retire from wrestling, you're still going to be fit and you need to be Claire McLeod.
Fuck retire. Like, seriously, go win the belt, take 2 weeks off, shoot a couple episodes, go kick a bunch of ass, take another few weeks off, kick a... Like, if Brock Lesnar can go fucking months in between title defenses, she can shoot some fucking Highlander.
That's true. That's fucking true.
And you'd still see her every week because she'd be on Highlander.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Built-in audience right there. Built-in audience right there.
Yep.
Yeah, fuck it. We want Highlander.
Yep. That's it. Yeah, I don't even care about anything else. You should still really go read Chew. But yeah, I want a Becky Lynch Highlander movie. That's it.
Becky Lynch Highlander.
We're good.
We're good. We're
That's
done.
Right.
That's
Much
it.
Much like every other episode, it only took us an hour and 17 minutes, but man, did we strike gold for the last like four.
Yeah, yeah. This is it. This is how we fix
that's
it.
That's it. Really, that should be how you post this, Jamie. Just fast forward to the hour and six mark.
Yeah.
Just tear through. If you like that the last 6 minutes or so, you're gonna love us. Go ahead and Tarantino that. If you're like, God, these guys suck, you can just roll right on.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're good.
Yeah,
yeah. I will ask that you hit the like and subscribe button and just ignore us like the rest of your junk mail, though. That'd be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. All right, B, how can people find you?
On Instagram, at That Guy Chalmers, or if you're friends with me on Facebook, just Brandon Chalmers. If you're not friends with me and you're not a robot, and I may have met you somewhere, I might actually friend request you.
Hooray.
Probably hide you, but I'll definitely friend request you.
You can find me wherever you find this thing. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I need to finish out what I have to do this week so I could start doing fan art, because this is... In my head, that's this movie it. Exists. This movie
that's,
exists.
That is absolutely it. You need to start doing this.
Yeah.
I need a Highlander comic from you. Like, if we need to rename it the Lowlander, if you need me to just like start researching other like Irish and or Scottish folklore to be able to just find an equivalent.
Yeah.
I'll do that. and we can just thinly veil it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of calling it the quickening, we'll call it like the fastening.
The fastening.
Yeah. It has to be said with an accent, though.
I got fastening. Fastening. It's like you're saying fastening the wrong way.
Yeah. Did he say fastening? Fastening.
Fastening.
You knew what I said.
Oh, my God. So, all right. We will need to make this happen. Is she going to be at AwesomeCon?
Probably.
We need to...
I hope not, because I'll end up basically just carrying her away on my shoulders like the absolute queen she is.
We need to get into that meet and greet line, and we need to talk to people.
Yeah, and watch how fast we get tackled when you and I try and do the elevator pitch.
Becky.
Okay, before this guy tackles us, Jamie, I'm going to hold them back. Tell her about the thing. And then you start in with the elevator pitch, and every so often, as I'm wrestling with security, you hear me yell, but then you're Claire McLeod of the Clan McLeod. Motherfucker. And just, that's what...
Yeah, we hand her the dossier.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. You know you got to wrap it up, like lights on in the back of the comedy store when you see me get hogtied by staff.
God,
you guys call yourself the Brute Squad. I accept this challenge.
I need this to happen so fucking much. Ah!
Yeah, this is when, come to find out, one of the other wrestlers who's actually there gets a little tired of my ass, and I end up getting just whole hog clotheslined by somebody. Like, God only knows who.
That's another bucket list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've already been chopped. I need to just start upping the game.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need a concussion.
No! Jesus Christ, no! Damn, can't you just, like, break a collarbone or something? Jesus. Trying to get me to, like, forget how to tie my shoes and shit. Jeez. Short-term injuries, Jamie. Short-term.
All right. We're going to end this.
Yep.
Bye.
Goddamn Highlander movie. Make it!